Thank you, Joy. I am really, really excited about our guest here today. And normally at this point, I would read off a long-winded bio about whoever the author might be for this particular week. And I'll give you just a couple of tidbits here, but then I want to share a couple of stories here with you if I can as well, because I'm really, really excited about our guest here today. Martin Yate, he is the author of the Knock 'Em Dead series of books. And these books have been around for some time. He's written multiples of these books. His latest is Secrets and Strategies for Success in an Uncertain World. He is a New York Times and international bestseller of job search and career management books. He's written 11 job search and career management books. He's got these books in over 50 foreign mm-hmm. language editions.
And he speaks them all fluently.
And he speaks them all fluently, I'm sure. But just a couple of quick tidbits of this. I've got a good friend of mine in this industry who's been doing this for close to 30 years, and he's going to be moving out of state soon. And to kind of lighten his load, he's like, you know, I'm going to give you a couple of my books to kind of lighten the moving load, if that's okay. Here's some of my favorites. And in that stack of books was a Knock 'Em Dead book from, I want to say, 1986 that he's kept all these years that he absolutely loves. And this latest one, I've had the opportunity to read it and go through it. And what's so interesting, and I'm dying to talk to him about this, and I'll be quiet here soon. he's taken on all these different experts from around the industry. So it's not just him giving you this information. It's people from HR, corporate HR, headhunters, all across the industry. So it's multiple points of view on this. And I was very, very honored to be included in that list for this book. But after going through it, I'm blown away by the material. So I'm going to stop talking now and introduce Martin to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Bonjour, monsieur. Comment ça va?
Très bien.
Hey, Paul, Connor, Joy, good to be with you.
Hello, Martin. We're honored. We are honored because year after year, we have authors on, and we've been doing this for only 7 years, but even still. And you are truly one of our guests that we truly are honored to have on. So welcome.
Well, that's very kind of you. I have a little news to share. Paul was talking about this new book that he Secrets and Strategies for Success in an Uncertain World that he contributed to. Mm-hmm. It was published on May the 18th, and a few days later, it was called by Joyce Kennedy of Tribune Media the Career Book of the Year. The first printing is already sold out.
I love it.
We are going back to print with a brand new cover. So I tell you what I'm going to do, guys. If any of your listeners would like a rare first edition of a Knock 'Em Dead book, I'll make a couple available to you, and you can give them to the listeners.
Oh, how exciting. Thank you so much. Now, every year after you've been doing this, Martin, what keeps you so energized and all the information, it's just chock full of important information. What makes this one so special?
Well, I tell you what got me going with this book is I discovered something after writing about job search and career management for 25 years. And here's the two things I discovered. Number one, no one ever buys a book on job search until 7 days after they've been fired. In other words, when the sky's falling in on them. No one ever buys a book on career management because that's kind of like Chicken Little. You know, if I've got a job, everything's going to be fine forever now.
Yes.
And I was listening to a director of career services for a major university who's being asked about this terrible economy, and she said, well, all we can do is tell them to write a resume and wish them luck.
Oh, dear.
And then I'm listening to the radio, and what do I hear about the revolution in the world of work? I hear, don't worry about losing your job. It's one of those nasty, rusty, old jobs. Mm-hmm. You can get one of the nice, shiny, new ones. All you have to do is find a nice, shiny, new job that you like, and you hang on to it with 10 fingers and 10 toes, and if you lose one, you hang on with 9. In other words, I've been in this business 35 years. You guys have been in this business a long time, too. Career management advice hasn't changed in our lifetime, mm-hmm. although the world has changed. And you know, as a writer, we, you know, sometimes we sit and thinks, and sometimes we just sit. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking, you know what? There's a whole new set of rules. I've actually written about them all in 14 books, but no one's read my 14 books
except me
and an editor. So what I did was, and what I got Paul involved with and some of the other most experienced people in the employment industry today, 42 of them, some of these guys I've known over 35 years, was to write a job search book and to hide within the pages all the advice you needed to navigate the twists and turns of a half-century work life.
Mm-hmm. They're no longer secrets, by the way. Are you going to change the title? You're telling them all.
But you know, the fascinating thing was with Paul, and there's a guy in this group called Bob Morris, who is actually a headhunter who recruited me for the most important career change in my career and convinced me to take a pay cut.
Oh, he's good.
He was good. And it turned out to be the greatest strategic move of my career. So this was an opportunity not to just to put out my thoughts, but I got this group of people, and I sent them like 80 questions around the topics of what I was writing with. And it was great because we were all thinking the same thing. So you've got this story of how I see the world of work and how you should manage your life, but it's like you've got this whole gang of heavily experienced people. Average experience of this panel of experts is 22 years in the business. Of adding their commentary to every topic. So there's quotes on every page from all these other men and women, and it's just a super book.
For the benefit of our listeners, Paul would have been in diapers 22 years ago, okay?
I wish. But you know, one of the words that you mentioned in there, it was one of the most strategic moves of your career. That was really the biggest differentiator, I think, to this book, to really the any of the other books that you see on this topic, because it's not a lot of theory on, well, this should happen if you do that and they might do this. This is a strategic business plan, so to speak, of how to attack the job search. One of the quotes from the beginning that I just am in love with is job search and career management skills are the most important skills you can ever develop. And I absolutely believe that. And you talk about creating yourself as your own corporation and attacking it in a project type of approach from start to finish. I was hoping you can just kind of walk us through some of the steps that you think are important, not just theories on how to do this, but some strategic approaches to resume writing and the like.
You know, you set them up, and I'll whack them right down the fairway, because I'm writing an article for CNN on exactly that, Paul, today. That's what I've been doing all day.
Okay.
You know, it's easy to write long, but to write 600 words, 700 words, that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the facts of the matter. We're all somewhere in the midst of what's going to be a half-century work life. Statistically, for the last 40 years in America, we've changed jobs about every 4 years. Depending on who you speak to, we're going to have somewhere between 3, 5, maybe 8 careers in that time. If history is anything to go by, economic recessions whiz by every 7 to 10 years, not to mention the unspeakable, which is age discrimination, is going to kick in when you turn 50. So the only constant we have going forward is that the change is constant.
Mm-hmm.
So in this world where change is constant, what are the most critical skills we have for survival? Well, you know, I think at the top of everyone's list, when you look at it, you know, look at the future right in the eye like this, is, well, let's see, my ability to find job openings, my ability to turn interviews into job offers, my ability to anticipate and navigate the twists and turns of a half-century work life. Now let's look at where did we get this advice from? Mom and Dad, unlikely, but if we did, it's out of date. Didn't get it in middle school, didn't get it in high school. If we went to a state university, there's one career services person for every 3,000 students. If you went to an elite private school, the very best you're ever going to get is one career services person for every 800 or 900. So the vast majority of people in this country have never been taught how to survive in this world. We're told, you know, find something you like and hang on to it. Oh, that your whole profession's disappeared, that's okay. Choose a new one and hang right. on with all fingers and toes again.
Right, right.
You okay. know, us guys, we're on the front edge of this, we're on the cutting edge of this, and we realize mm-hmm. there are new ways of doing it, and we are in a profession that is only gradually assuming the importance it should hold in the American professional world. And we have to share this message, because once people understand there's a new way of managing their professional lives, they can get a grip on it and control their professional and financial futures more effectively.
Hmm. Okay, so let's start with just looking at resumes, coming up with a strategic approach to resume writing. You talk about the TJD approach to resume writing, yeah. which I loved. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, when you guys look at a resume, one comes in the office, let's say 10 resumes, mm-hmm. how many of them, right after the contact information, the first statement they have is not a job title, but job objective?
Yes, most.
So we have to understand, no one wakes up in the morning and says, it's a lovely day in the neighborhood, let's read resumes. You know, the only time you ever read a resume is when there's a specific job to fill. And that's the job we're thinking of. So as a resume writer, we've got to recognize no one cares what we want.
Right.
No one gives a darn. Mm-hmm. Right? And this quote, you know, we've got this quote in the book, how long do recruiters spend looking at a resume the first time? Mm-hmm. And it ranged with this panel of experts of somewhere between 3 seconds and the most spent 40 seconds on it.
Mm-hmm. 30 seconds.
And you just, when you're an expert at this, you visually scan it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every book anyone's ever read, every magazine article, every TV show, every movie has something called a title, right? Mm-hmm. And movies have titles and books have titles because they draw us in. Mm-hmm. Now, a resume is the most financially important document anyone is going to own, but we don't give it a title. Hmm. So we don't give it a title, and we start off as, this is what I want from you. No wonder our resumes don't get pulled out of the databases. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to do this thing Paul's referring to called target job deconstruction. It means do your due diligence. Let's find out what the employer wants. You can't write a general resume anymore. You've got to focus on a job you can do and then collect half a dozen job postings, and then you follow the target job deconstruction sequence and you pull them apart. And at the end of it, you have a simple Word document in front of you, and you can say, when employers in America are looking to hire someone like me, this is what they call me, and here's how they prioritize the deliverables of my job, and here are the words they use to describe it. And now we have a template for the story our resume needs to tell.
So what you're saying there is you don't just put in the keywords that relate to the specific job that you're applying for. You put in keywords and word association related to other similar type of jobs as well, Martin.
Yeah. You collect 6 to 10 jobs. You know, you can go to all these job sites and they say, here's the keywords to use. Doesn't help you at all. But if you actually tear the jobs apart, you get an understanding of what you're being hired for. Now, as you write the story of your resume. You don't have job objective, by the way, or career summary. I recommend a heading called performance profile, because performance evaluation is something all managers do every year. And you take those top priorities that you determine from the job deconstruction, and that becomes your performance profile, the opportunity to do these things. And then you take all those keywords you identify, and you put the phrases in a box, and you call it core competencies. And it comes right up at the top of the resume. Now, I'm not the only person to say that, but most mm-hmm. people say, oh, you just put in 15 or 20. No, you put in all the words that employers are using about your job, because when it's scanned by a recruiter, when it's actually pulled out of a database, they see the target job title. Oh, she can do this job. The performance profile captures the essence of the job. The core competencies, every word, every phrase is a headline. Oh, she can talk about this. And then as you go into the experience with each job, you repeat those keywords, doubling the amount of keywords you have in your resume. It puts the experience you have in context, and it dramatically increases the odds of your resume being pulled out of the databases.
Absolutely, and even just from the applicant tracking systems that you're being submitted to, when I run a keyword search through our database, those resumes are going to come up in order of who has that word on the resume the most number of times.
Yeah.
So having the core competencies at the top and repeating them throughout, not only are you going to come up in the search, but then as I see your resume, we're going to get there faster. And I loved one of the examples you used in the book of somebody had sent a resume in and it says my target position, you know, the objective at the top, which you mentioned they don't care about, says they're looking for an opportunity with a global organization, and they sent their resume to a company that's not global. Well, you know, if they would have spent 10 seconds looking at it, they would have known. Just the little things like that make so much difference.
We have to take care of the details.
Yeah.
Martin, I have a question. The therapist in me is chafing at the bit here.
Oh, God, I do need a therapist.
I'm working on it. I'm listening. Just kidding. How does one's personality fit into a resume? Would you recommend using words like I, which people don't use on a resume? The personality style, in other words, we have six people who are extremely competent and they have similar resumes. How does the personality of someone who's strong, who's gets along with the rest of the world, who is, you know, hardworking, how do you get that across?
Okay, very good question. And we verge on this issue of branding. Branding scares me. It's what we used to call building a good reputation, and it took years. But now apparently we can do it in 6 weeks if we just take someone's seminar. Now, this is a serious issue. The thing is, we can't do everything in a resume. What we can do in a resume is we can use either a branding statement at the beginning after the job title that you feel captures who you are as a professional. Okay. And you can italics, and you can do the same at the end of the resume.
Oh, good.
And also, you can use verbal and written endorsements that people have given you. But it can't all go in the resume. Remember, the resume is to get your foot in the door and to set the tone. Mm-hmm. You know, given six people who can do the job and one who's got a great personality, I'm going to go with the cats who can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Personality is a nice plus. It's something that we can do in the cover letter. And let's remember, if we don't have the benefit of the professional representation of a headhunter, we've got to represent ourselves. So we can't just rely on the resume. If we respond to a job posting, we need to do the cross-referencing, find the company, find the names of people who hold the titles 1 to 3 levels above us, go to LinkedIn, find these people, reach out to them directly, send them a once you've got the name of someone, you then can include a cover letter which shares a little bit of your personality. And then what we have to do is, lordy, lordy, scary of all concerns in the world is pick up the phone and call them. Because no hire in the world ever happens without a conversation between the candidate and the hiring manager. The quicker you can make this happen, the more often you can make this happen, the quicker your job search is going to be over.
We're speaking with Martin Yate, who is author of the great Knock 'Em Dead series, but particularly the book we're speaking about today is Strategies and Success for Secrets and Strategies for Success in an Uncertain World, which Tribune Media has said is the career book of the year. Martin, you opened earlier about talking about ageism. And every HR manager in working corporate America knows ageism doesn't exist. But every HR manager who's left corporate America knows ageism exists. So what advice would you have for, I mean, a lot of our demographic we know from our listenership is baby boomers who are struggling with what they perceive to be ageism at least. I mean, in terms of strategies and success for your career, what advice would you give a baby boomer who feels that the age profile is against them?
Yeah. Connor, I'm having a bit of a difficulty with your deep south accent. It's Alabama.
Hey, it's New Jersey, Martin. It's New Jersey, man. Forget about it.
You know, this is such a good point. And what I do in the book, and there's a story woven throughout the book, which I don't just touch on ageism on page 26 or whatever it is. It's actually addressed throughout the book. Now, what we tend to do in life is we all have dreams of being a writer or a sculptor or a musician, and we all have dreams of having our own business. And these dreams come in our teens and 20s, and we all try and be a successful rock and roll player or a singer in the opera. And we fail because we don't know how to make it work, and everyone smirks and says, now settle down and get a real job. We all have this dream of having our own business, and we all try, and not knowing how to make it succeed, we fail, and everyone smirks and tells us, now we'd better settle down and get a real job. And we take our dreams, and too soon, we stick them under the bed. And we put all our hope in the core career job with the wages and the benefits, even though we know it's no longer secure, even though we pretend there's no such thing as age discrimination, it is going to come by. What I talk about in the book is I talk about a series of learned behaviors or transferable skills that are common to all successful people, whether they're pursuing the traditional corporate career, whether they're pursuing and successful as an entrepreneur, or whether they're pursuing success in their dreams in the creative field. Now, given this, the story of the book is, don't put your dreams under the bed. If you tried something in your teens and it fails, that doesn't mean to say you don't ever do it again. Henry Dow of Dow Chemical failed 5 times. Mm. You know, the greatest box office star in the world, Harrison Ford, was by trade a Finnish carpenter. And he was a Finnish carpenter in Hollywood for many years before he became Harrison Ford.
Right.
And so what we need to do, and what the story of the book is, you pursue that core career. And the book shows you how to get jobs, how to get settled, how to get into the inner circle and become secure and grow professionally. But while you're in that job, you look around and you say, hey, the paycheck's good. That means the people in accounting actually know what they're doing. And if I ever have my own business, I better know about accounting, and I better know about strategic planning, and I better know about public relations. And we suddenly have all these new reasons to become students of business in our jobs, because we know one day we're going to have our own company. That's the facts of life. We're going to get eased out in our 50s and 60s, and the sooner we can begin to study and learn how to bring a buck in the front door, the sooner we pursue in our lives entrepreneurial endeavor and the pursuit of dream careers, the sooner we can learn how to do it. And here's the fact of life. As Americans, we put these dreams under the bed. We get this core career job. We come home exhausted. We plop ourselves down in front of the television, and we watch life go by out of the corner of our eyes as we're told that we're going to be thinner, sexier, and altogether more desirable if we just buy this diet soda. Whereas instead, we should be listening to the radio, and every night we should be investing in, one, career management, two, the pursuit of your dreams. Mm. You know, and your dreams change every 10 years or so. And it doesn't matter if you fail at something in your teens or 20s and 30s. You learn from it. That's how we grow, and you keep trying. You know, you guys introduced me, and you're very flattering, and I've been writing for 20 years, and I'm in 60-odd languages, and I've got all these books. I wrote for 20 years before I was published.
Oh, wow.
And that's what I did at nights and weekends and in hotel rooms and in airports and in restaurants when I was traveling on business. Mm-hmm. If we invest ourselves in our future, we put the juice back in our life. Mm-hmm. We are using skills that will help our core careers become more successful. And because we're also using skills that we need to be successful in the pursuit of our entrepreneurial and dream careers, we're going to increase the odds of them becoming successful as well. And that's what we need to do as baby boomers, Connor.
Right.
You know, and incidentally, just kind of as a byproduct of that, as you become more interested in those, you know, in the finance group and the accounting group and what's going on, and you become that student of all these other departments, just kind of a plus or a benefit that comes from that is now you're making friends with all those various departments throughout your company. And as layoff time comes, you've got friends in multiple departments saying, well, if you're going to lay off from that department, hang on to Tom, or hang on to Larry, or Joy, or to Connor. Hang on to those people, because they're now friends with so many other people, and it can keep you in that job even longer, so you have more time to learn.
It's absolutely the way to the inner circle, because who's in the inner circle? The people are really connected to their profession.
Right.
It also means we're building relevant networks. You know, when we're involved in a job search, everyone wants to network because there's no rejection involved in talking to people we know, but
right.
we were all so hard working at our jobs, we only know 20 or 30 people. And right. they won't speak to us after 45 days of job search.
That's right.
You know, they just think of taking
That's
the calls
right.
anymore.
That's right. That's right.
So you know, by doing what Paul is saying, we build networks, secure our jobs, and we're also building networks for when we do need to be involved in job search, because we need to invest, we need to engage in enlightened self-interest rather than blind loyalty.
Yeah. Well, Martin, I'm going to be the bad guy here, but I'm so excited because from what I understand from Felice, that you've been kind enough to say you're going to come back and talk with us. So I hope that works.
I'll always come back with you guys.
Thank you so much.
I've got a list of 15 other questions here I haven't gotten to yet.
And actually, I'd like to end with what the Wall Street Journal has said, and we concur wholeheartedly. One of the most, we're going to say most admired authors in the career space. So thank you, Martin, so very much for being on here at Job Talk. And we're delighted to know that you're having great success with all your secrets and your strategies.
Joy, Connor, Paul, thanks so much for having me on. Paul, thanks for being part of the book. We're going to be together for 20, 30 years, I think.
Oh,
I
love
so.
It.
I hope so.
That's
Walking
great.
Frames Incorporated.
Yes.
Martin Yeh, thank you very much for joining us
God
on Job Talk today.
Okay,
good luck.
You as
Take
well.
Care.
Bye-bye.